Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we're on episode 4 of season 1 of Ted Lasso.
These are going really fast to me. I mean, I guess we got really used to, like, long things with Harry Potter, so it's like, I just feel like you blink and you miss it with some of these episodes. But yeah, we're on season 1, episode 4, For the Children of Ted Lasso, which, you know, it's going to be fun. I had said at the end of the last episode that For the Children is kind of, it was a catchphrase. Like, many people probably know that I used to work in a DA's office prosecuting criminals. And the guy who did all of our child crimes would just, like, anytime he did something that was going to cost money, it's like, oh, it's for the children. For the Children, it's like, he used that line all the freaking time. So for me, it's just like, yeah, For the Children. Okay, fine. And of course, you know, the context of this, there's a whole lot of adult stuff going on in this context of something that is supposed to be a charity event for children. So it's kind of fascinating. But anyway, you want to go through the caveats? Disclaimer?
Yeah, sure. We will be cursing. And spoilers for Ted Lasso. We'll try to keep it contained to season 1. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, like, to be completely honest, I don't really remember too many specific things that happened in season 2. So it'll be probably pretty easy for me to. Not that it was forgettable. It was just more like, I feel like they kind of blend together a little bit for me. So it can be a little bit harder to.
I mean, there are things I remember that are, but they are. I know I have much more of a sense of, like, how the characters develop, not necessarily specific events. So yeah, mm-hmm. I can agree with you. What is your beverage of choice for this?
I just have a can of ginger ale.
And I have a variation on a can of ginger ale, something called a sparkling Duchess, which most of our listeners have probably seen that I do this with a fair amount of regularity.
I've only done it like twice or something.
So now it's 3 times. It's elderflower liqueur, prosecco, and ginger ale, which is a really lovely, refreshing combination. And I have it in my head as associated with the UK because we had it at the UK Pavilion at Epcot. So sure, right? But it also, like, right at the end of this, anything involving sparkling wine, you know, will make me have something with sparkling wine. And there's stuff right at the end of this episode that has sparkling wine. So that's part of my rationale for this one. So they start this episode with the actual match, and you hear
the aftermath of the match. They lost.
Right. So, but you hear the announcers talking about AFC Richmond is booed by the fans, you know, and, you know, just that they keep losing. Mm-hmm. And Jamie comes into the locker room and he just is horribly insulting to Sam. Like, that's going to build him up in some ways. Like, he's just awful to him. Mm-hmm. And he says something like they beat up. He says something about Roy Kent, or he says something about Sam, and Roy gets, like, in his face about it. Like, this is not how you behave. This is not beneficial in any way. And he goes to Sam's defense, and, like, the fight breaks out because Roy's not. And then.
Sorry, can I get this part? Because sure. Ted comes in and he is breaking up the fight, and he's like, what's the first rule of my fight club? And then Coach Beard, I think, says, nope, no fight club. I love that.
I forgot that entirely. That is great.
That's insane. I love it so much.
Right. And then, you know, Roy's like, fine. Yeah, basically fine. But you call me Grant, you call me old one more time. He's directing
Jamie. Calls him granddad. And then Roy says, I'll fucking kill you. And then just, like, goes and, like, starts fighting him again.
Yeah. I love Roy Kent.
So tensions are high. And so then we go to Rebecca.
Yeah, and we get a Rebecca. Rebecca, apparently, part of what the AFC Richmond Club does on a regular basis is they do a charity event to raise money for children's charity. It's not really clear what the charity does. But she has to organize this event that has a whole bunch of people, and you're supposed to have like a famous musician, and you've got to put the right money donors at the right table so that you can raise enough money to like benefit children. And her husband, her ex-husband, had been really, really good at it. And so she's trying to at least be okay at it. And she feels like she's going in at a disadvantage. So yeah, she's
Go ahead. Sorry. She's talking to Higgins about like where to put people. And then this person comes up and it's just like, oh God, she has to come. And then Higgins is like, oh no, she was kicked in the face by a horse. And Rebecca says, oh, poor thing. Is the horse okay? I love her. Right before
that, she says something like, oh, we'll put X person that she doesn't like at the boring table four. And that, of course, becomes a running gag in this episode. It's like anybody's just like, oh, we'll put you table four. Yeah, it's like,
oh, and then we go over to the practice, unless you have anything from that meeting.
I love this so much.
No, this part, the team seems to be divided, and Coach Beard and Ted notice this. And Ted says, you know what I'm thinking right now, Coach? And then Coach Beard says, West Side Story. And Ted says, you know it.
And I love this because Nate chimes in because he had been the understudy to Anita. In West Side Story. He's like, oh, all boys school.
It was an all-boys school. But also, it was really funny because I wrote this down, like, Ted gets a plot point wrong, like, when Bernardo and Riff die at the, if they die at the dance or at the Rumble, and Nate corrects them, and then he's just like, when Nate was 15, he was an understudy for Anita because it was an all-boys school. I love that so much.
Right.
There was a moment I think earlier where like they're talking about an actor and where they know him from, and it was just like this movie, or it's like, no, All That Jazz. And I'm just like, okay, I love that.
Right, because you know they really like have all of these fantastic cultural references that like I absolutely love. They start, they're having this discussion, and Rebecca comes to the window, like that overlooks the pitch, and she's yelling out about like, you know, hey, you know, who's your plus one? And Coach Beard's like, I have a date. Ted's like, is, you know, I'm going with Coach Beard. He's like, I have a date. And they're like,
well, he doesn't even say it. Rebecca's like, oh no, he already has his plus one. And then they all look at him like, what? And he's just like, no.
Like, he never says much. I love that.
He doesn't. Coach. I love it. And then Ted's just like, well, then Ted is like, oh, Nate, are you free? Are you free like whatever night it is? And then Nate's just like, I'm free every night. I'm like, I love Nate. I relate to Nate. And Nate's gonna be Ted's plus one, which is really sweet.
Right. And so there's a later reference, I think, that you know, Coach Beard has met some girl at chess club or something like that. Mm-hmm. So Ted goes up and he's talking to Rebecca, and Rebecca's trying to pick out a dress. And he's like, oh, well, let me tell you about the time that I wore my pajamas, my PJs to the prom. And she's like, oh, please stop.
It's really funny.
But you know, she's trying to pick out a dress. And she's like, oh, I don't think I can wear that anymore because of my age or whatever. And he's like, you know, just wear what you like. Mm-hmm. And he boosts her self-confidence just by saying, it's like, you know, you're going to look amazing. No, just do it. And of course, she is like, unbelievably gorgeous anyway. So it's like, yeah, I mean, but you, as a female of a certain age, you need someone to tell you sometimes that like it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay to just do something that makes you feel amazing. And you know, there's all that insecurity, and she's got the extra, like, her ex has been dating all these really young women and just all of this stuff.
And that comes into play later on. And then Higgins also comes in and mentions that the musical guest is not going to be there. They backed out. And so he has to find a new musical guest. And then you go over to Keely and Jamie, who are getting ready for the gala. By the way, Keely looks fucking fantastic. Oh my God.
So gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, it's like, damn, that's awesome. But she looks amazing. And then Jamie, again, he's such a superficial dick, right? So like, he's like, oh, you know, I can do this without my shirt. There's all this thing about like him looking, and he does, he looks really good in a suit, but he's kind of like, oh, it'll be so much cooler if I have my shirt off. You're like, you're such a fucking
whatever. Tool. And then Keely is trying to tell Jamie that he could get more endorsements if he was affiliated with like high fashion stuff. And that's just kind of a little thing that Keely is noticing and stuff like that. And it's what she's focusing on. And it kind of comes into play later with her story arc.
Because she has that expertise. Again, she has knowledge that people blow off because it seems very superficial. But at the same time, for what they are involved in, it can be important.
Yeah. And then you go over to Ted, who's calling his wife, who doesn't answer. And then Ted helps Nate with his suit because Nate's suit does not work at all.
Yeah, Nate shows up in a suit that looks like it's his dad's or a hand-me-down or something.
And then we go over to probably one of my absolute favorite parts of this episode. It probably is the paparazzi part where you get to see all these people's personalities.
Yeah.
Let me just explain like each person's like experience on the red carpet really quick. So you got Sam, and you don't really get to see much of Sam right like lately, but you see Sam and he's such a sweetheart. Like he goes onto the red carpet and he's asking for the paparazzi's names, and then he's calling them by name, like, oh yeah, I hope you have a good name, Paul or whatever. And then it's just
he's taking the pictures. Sweet, friendly, open, you know, all the things. He's so great.
And then you've got Jamie who comes onto the red carpet and he's just like, all right eyebrow, left eyebrow, this one. And Keely comes up and it's just like, all right, now what you're actually going to use. And then they're posing, they kiss or whatever, and that's a big one. And then Keely gets a couple of shots on her own while Rebecca comes up, and Rebecca's looking, it's kind of uncomfortable. And she like talks to Keely about, I don't know what to do with myself, like I don't know how to pose. And Keely is like, okay, this is what you do, your hand right here like claw, and then you one foot in front of the other, bit like stand up tall, your chin a little bit in the air, that kind of stuff. And then Keely goes behind the paparazzi and hypes her up like, oh my god, she looks fit. And then she's so hyping her up. It's so sweet. I love it. It's so cute.
And then like the crowd gets into it and it's really, really, really sweet. And then Roy Kent comes through and he's like,
oh no, but first I want to note that Nate's suit looks much better. He looks fantastic. Oh, like then they come through and that's it. And then Roy, this is what I wrote down for Roy. When Roy is on the red carpet, he just walks through it while pictures are being taken and says, no, fuck off, fuck you, leave me alone, fuck you, no, fuck off.
I love him.
It's so great. I love it so much. I had to pause because I was laughing so much. It was so great. And then Jamie and Roy are seated at the same table as Ted and Nate. And Ted's like, I parent trapped you.
Right, because he's got Jamie and Keely. And Roy and Roy's by himself, I guess. And Roy is at the table with them. And he's like, I parent trapped you because we're going to work this shit out like tonight. And so, we're going to, basically it's kind of like, oh, we're going to start by like saying something like that you like or you don't like about like the other person. And so Keely, and I love this. She's like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
First, Ted makes it clear that they don't have to be best friends, they just have to work well as teammates. And I think that's really important because it's like you're not going to get along with everybody, like that's just not how life works. So I love that he emphasizes that they don't have to get along that well, they just need to be able to work together as a cohesive unit. And then to start things off, because they're not really going to participate, Keely just compliments Nate and it's just like, you look fantastic in your little suit or whatever, and it's just really sweet. And then
Yang has
joined us. Cats just joined us. Hi, yes, I have not seen you in so long. Hi, Yang.
He's purring. He is purring.
I'm sure he is.
He's a big old boy.
He's taken over. Sorry. Back.
Right, he's also shirtless, just like Jamie.
Yeah, he's naked. But he wants them to get along. And so Jamie, like when he's just like, all right, say one good thing about each other or whatever. And Jamie's like, pass. And then Roy says, or like, what you don't like, something about each other or something like that. Right. It's like, Jamie says pass. And then Roy says, he's a piece of shit.
Right. Right. Great. And then like Jamie starts, actually he does. And I will give him some points for this. He does start to say like something substantive, like, you know, you're always doing blah. And Roy just cuts him up, piece of shit. I mean, just like,
yeah.
And he's, because he's so done with all of the superficial crap, and he just doesn't want to participate any. And there is a point, and I didn't take a ton of notes through this. I mean, they cut through to Coach Beard is with his chess girlfriend, yeah. And they're like talking chess moves and all this.
They're playing chess without a board with each other the entire night. It's just really funny. I love that for them. And then Rebecca's ex-husband shows up.
Right, so Rebecca's trying to do introductions, like she's trying to like start, you know, things off or whatever for the evening. And she's speaking, and Rupert, her ex, just interrupts, like, "Hey, I'm here, I'm amazing." And then like, you know, there's applause and shit, and it's like, oh god,
yeah. it's really awkward.
Right, but
and then she also seats him at table 4, and then yeah. Also, I was
you didn't RSVP, but we'll seat you at table 4.
Yeah, and also then there's this like line of joke making where it's like Keely, Roy, and Jamie, and they're just talking about how there's this old lady who approaches Jamie and is just like, "I'm gonna like bid for you because there's gonna be a bidding on a date with like just a bachelor auction basically with the players." And an old lady approaches Jamie and says she's gonna bid on him, and Roy and Keely just joke around about like, if she bids like 3,000 and more, you have to do stuff with her. Like, it's just like fingering is going to be 3,000.
If she gets to 5,000, you're totally staying the night with her. But before that, and this is another one of those great almost throwaway lines, one of the waiters spills soup on Jamie's chest, which and Roy's response is, "Another reason shirts exist," because like, "Oh, that's hot, it hurts." It's like, yeah, another reason shirts exist. Like, fuck
and
you.
Then yeah, so that's that. And then Jamie gets upset when they're like joking around about that kind of stuff, and Jamie just like storms off. And then Ted basically tells Roy to be like, "You need to be the mature one. You're older than him. You have more experience than him. You need to be you're the team captain. You need to be the one to like break the ice," because obviously Jamie's not going to.
Something else though that I think is really very insightful for Roy, like in this specific context for like, you know, footballers and stuff like that. He's like, "How were you at 23? I mean, what?" You know, he's like, "Well, I was kind of like a dickheaded prick," you know, that kind of thing. And I think that that's very true in that universe. Like, you know, you're very talented, you're very good, people are all like, you know, like fawning over you, and you're kind of an asshole. So and I think in that kind of sports celebrity universe, that's very true. I, you know, the reason I make that distinction, and I realize it's not terribly meaningful to you, is that that is different from my personal experience with young people coming in, because I've got young people who've been coming into my profession where they really are not concerned with getting better, and they're not particularly good at the job, but they act like they are. Unlike Jamie, who is incredibly talented. I mean, he is a very talented footballer. He just is a dick. And so Roy admits, like, "Yeah, I was kind of a dick then too. And I had to learn. I had to learn not to." And it's like, it's your job. Basically says, like, it's your job to get him to understand it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, then they've got a point where, and I think the phrase, and I like this, "Don't let the wisdom of age be wasted on you," is what Ted says to him. It's like, there's a lot of truth in that. And that is something I need to take to heart myself. So I get it. And I do need to do that myself. I still struggle with it.
Right.
Nate, there's
awkwardly. Comes up to Roy and thanks him for helping him out and awkwardly hugs him.
Right. Really, so Nate ran into the side pricks in the bar, and they say something where they admit, like, "Oh yeah, you know, Roy told Jamie to tell us to stop," basically. And Nate realizes that he owes him a thank you. And he goes and he's like, yeah, I want to hug you, but I can't, but I will. But, and then he does. Mm-hmm. And Roy's just sitting there like, ick.
You know? And then there's an awkward interaction between Rebecca and her ex. And she basically is like having her ex do the auction instead of her. And when Rebecca walks off, Rupert has a conversation with Ted and mentions that he's friends with the canceled musical guest. And Ted's kind of suspicious about like whether or not he actually contributed to the fact that like the musical guest didn't show up. You could easily ask him not to.
Right. So before that, though, there's a very quick interchange where I don't know if Ted's trying to diffuse tension or whatever, and he's talking about something about like, you could always open with he tells some joke about like sleeping with your best friend's older sister, or dating your best friend's older sister as a joke. And it's very telling because apparently that was something that Rupert had been doing. And so he tells this joke while Rebecca's still standing there. And Rebecca picks up on, I think, that Ted sees Rupert for what he is. Because Rupert like laughs really loudly at that, like, oh, ha ha ha. I'm like, you know, like he's that kind of guy, right? He's the guy who does that. And, you know, Ted was basically, I don't know whether Ted's the kind of guy who would have done that, but Ted has brought out the character of Rupert. And, you know that he's the guy who will just sleep with anybody, basically. So yeah, it's like one of those guy locker room kinds of things. And, you know, Ted's taking his measure with that. And I think that's really kind of a cool, again, psychological thing. So yeah, Rebecca lets Rupert do the auction. And Rupert says something to her and it feels genuine in the moment. And he's like, well, good for you getting back out there looking like that. And it feels like, you know, like, is it a compliment? Is it an insult? And she doesn't know how to take it because she's so jaded by how he's treated her. Mm-hmm. And so she's not sure if it's like, oh, you just look really old in that dress or you look amazing. Yeah. You know, she just doesn't.
You'll find out later that's a lot of what their relationship was. It was a confusing thing. And so then you go to the auction and Jamie is first and he basically is telling Keely, hey, don't let the old lady win. And Keely's like, it would kind of look weird if I just like was bidding on my boyfriend. Like, that's not really the purpose of this, but sure, whatever. And but then when an attractive woman starts bidding on him, she's like, okay, this is no, we're not doing this. And eventually she like wins the bidding for like £25,000. And I'm like, girl,
that's a lot.
But also like, I can understand like she just didn't want the other girl to win at that point. So.
Right. Whatever. But this young, attractive girl in a green dress and she comes up multiple times later and it's kind of like, wow.
You we'll get to that later. And then Rebecca is upset because she sees how, Rupert, like Rebecca's upset she's outside and Ted comes outside and is talking to Rebecca and she's upset because she sees how Rupert was manipulating her, but she also still just feels really alone and Ted really is good at comforting her and gives her a hug and it's really nice. Right, and then
it does, and again I think this is very true for women maybe at that level and particularly in certain contexts. He would tell her how to dress, what she was allowed to eat so she'd be thin enough to fit into it kind of thing, working out, just all of those things, that narrative in her head. And so she doesn't know how to take anything he says to her other than as criticism because he was very, very controlling of every aspect of her life. It wasn't just, like money and whatever, but it was all about the appearances, right? Because that's of that celebrity kind of thing that they were doing. And so she doesn't know how to let go of that or change that either.
She doesn't know how to move on from it and to change her mindset because that's been so ingrained in her for however many years they were married. And so that's that.
And then she doesn't want to be alone. I mean, she doesn't want to end up alone. And so, you know, here she is alone, which she didn't expect to be because he was such a philanderer. And it's so hard for her. And they hug.
And then,
go ahead.
Then you see Roy and Jamie talking things out and like at the bar, and Roy approaches Jamie about it. And then they both mention that they're both being arrogant in different ways. Like, obviously Jamie's being arrogant, but also Jamie mentions how Roy kind of acts like he is a gift to, like, you're lucky to have him there as well, but like in a different way where he like has the experience to back him up. But he also, it's just like, you act like you want us to kiss your rings and be just so grateful that you're our team captain and whatever, that you don't really act like one of us to a certain extent. And so they both kind of understand where they're coming from at that point. They still don't like each other, but they kind of understand how that dynamic is going to work. And they're going to try to maybe work things out moving forward.
Right.
And Ted sees that and he's pretty happy that things have worked out.
Right. And so, but Ted also realizes like, and you know, he's like putting it together, and he says something to Rupert too in all of this. Like, he says something about like, you know this singer so well that you could just get him here on a text. You could also tell him not to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so Ted gets his peoples to go out, and there's this like, you don't know if he's homeless, but he's like a guy who plays music.
Well,
on the
no, but before that, we have the heart to heart with Keely and Rebecca in the bathroom, where Rebecca,
and that is so can huge I go through from it? A character yes from a character standpoint for both of them. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a big part for them. Rebecca is in the bathroom and Keely is kind of just in there, and Rebecca thanks Keely for all the help with the photos on the red carpet. And then she also is just like, well, I think you should know that the girl that was bidding on Jamie was his other plus one, and he invited her there for a specific reason. And so Keely did not know this, but she's just like, okay, well, that bastard, okay, interesting. And basically they just have a heart-to-heart about like their dating lives. And she asked Rebecca, oh, did you ever like date a footballer? Just like how her experience with like dating Jamie, and she's just like, I don't know, I was hoping like I'm not really expecting anything from it, to be completely honest, but I don't know.
One of the things that she says, though, one of the things that Keely says, and it really is again a good, you know, monologue background whatever to her character, is like, I was however old when I started dating a 23-year-old footballer, and here I am at nearly 30 dating a 23-year-old footballer, and they're exactly the same, and you they haven't matured, they haven't changed, there's no difference in them. And it really is very telling for her. That is a self-realization moment for her. She really is, you know, thinking. And there's that word that Rebecca uses. She's like, well, what about accountability?
Yeah.
Is this person going to be accountable to you? Are they going to be honest with you? And Keely starts thinking, I was like, damn. Yeah.
And then, so Keely goes back to the table, and Jamie is talking to the other girl who was bidding on him. And
I have to add, this is one of those other like completely throwaway lines that I absolutely love. Keely's drinking a martini at this point,
and
she's got olives, and she's like, I hate olives, it's that orange thing, like kind of like a clitoris kind of thing in there. Oh my god. Yeah, I don't like olives either. I never thought of it that way, but it is kind of like freaking bizarre.
It's weird. And then so she comes back, he's talking to the other girl who's bidding on him, and she's just like, well, like she's waiting for him to explain himself, and he basically says that if he had two girls bidding on him, then it would look better for him, and it would be better for branding and getting deals and stuff like that. And Keely really does not appreciate the fact that, like, he was using that to, like, manipulate the situation and her, and not telling her the plan or anything like that. And so,
because it's a lie. I mean, even that is
a lie. Yeah. And then Roy is next to me being bit on. And I also love that it's just like, well, you were going to spend the day by the pool with Roy. It's like, there's not going to be no pool. There's not going to be any daiquiris. There's not going to be anything. And then it's just like, okay, anyway. And then Keely bids on Roy to make Jamie jealous. And then she doesn't win the day, the old woman does. But it also makes Jamie jealous. And Jamie storms off. And then Rupert also says that he's going to contribute $1 million or pounds to the cause, and it's going to make him look great and all that stuff. And then you see that Ted got a street performer from earlier in the episode that they just see on the street to play, and they actually have a lot of fun with it. And then Roy tells Keely to not use him as a prop in their fights, because really that's not cool. Like, right, Roy is not a prop.
Acknowledges it. She's like, you're right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, she does apologize to him. And then
I mean, so, but there's also, like, there's this weird, like, interaction with Coach Beard and his chess girlfriend, and she's like, hey, are we gonna dance? And he's like, wanting to continue their stupid chess game. And mm-hmm. So she leaves. And you see, like, with the street performer, because he's got, like, this hard rock, like, thing going on. I'm certain that there's a band involved in this, but, it's kind of fun. But both Higgins and Coach Beard are, like, headbanging and dancing.
It's funny. Really
cute. But Ted, tells Rebecca at the end of it, he's like, you think you're the only one that sees Rupert, but others see him, too. I see him. I know what it is. And, Jamie's trying to suck up to Keely, and Keely's just not having it at this point.
Yeah. They don't I don't think they necessarily break up, do they?
No.
They just are.
I think
she's just basically like, I'm done with all of this bullshit and all that stuff.
Right. She's so like, being accountable matters. Yeah. She says, yeah, being accountable.
So it kind of is a breakup to a certain extent. And then Keely and Rebecca go outside, and Keely takes two bottles of champagne and then goes outside, and she sees Rebecca, and she's just like, hey, do you want to go on one of those bike ride things? And in a pedicab, and which was brought up earlier because Rebecca mentioned she hadn't been on one. And so they go on a pedicab, and they're just drinking out straight out of the bottle. And it's really fun. I love it.
Really, really great. And you're right, at the end, Ted's talking to his wife. And again, it's one of those things where, you really get a sense that these characters are learning about themselves. Mm-hmm. Just in one night, it can change, like, all these things. And I love that. I love that about this show, because that is very real. Like, you can have that sudden, like, light bulb moment. And there are a lot of light bulb moments for some of these characters in this episode, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
So
that's the end of the episode.
It is. And so, yeah, there might be, like, one other thing that I completely overlooked. It might come to me. As they're walking out, Rupert walks out with the girl in the green dress.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
The real young girl, like it's,
Yeah, the one who was bidding on Jamie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, she's such a hoe, and she's so, like, it's like, ew. It's just, you want to, like, have a shower, because it's just kind of sickening. And Rebecca sees it, and she's like, ugh. She understands this, like, that's Jamie's plus one, and that tells you how gross both Jamie and Rupert are.
Yeah.
That was the other thing that I wanted to bring up with this. So what was your favorite part of this episode?
Rebecca and Keely mainly, and then Roy as well. I really love Roy, because I think that, Rebecca and Keely, like, are able to really get to know themselves as well as like each other, like with their backgrounds and like how seeing how they've changed with their relationships and stuff like that, or lack thereof. And then Roy, I really like his whole arc this episode because he starts out, obviously he doesn't want to be there, but then he actually mans up and like talks to Jamie about stuff. He learns something about like how he, his behavior kind of is perceived. So he's like, okay, well, as long as you stop being a prick, I'll be aware of me like doing all that stuff. And then he gets in the middle of this feud between like Keely and Jamie, and he stands up for himself about like, I'm not going to be a prop in your feud. Don't use me like that. And then Keely immediately is just like, I'm really sorry that you don't deserve that. And so I like that but he also forgives her. So it's kind of like, it's the thing with the mutual respect stuff where it's kind of like, okay, fine. Because Keely's being accountable for herself and her actions.
It's like acting like an adult.
He holds her accountable. Exactly. It's an adult thing. And I don't think that she's really had a relationship like that. Like having somebody who is willing to hold her accountable as well as her, just kind of an adult relationship in general, like that kind of stuff. So yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I do too. I think my favorite thing about this is Keely and Rebecca in the bathroom, because again, there's a lot of, but also Ted and Rebecca outside. And I think, there's a lot of character development for Rebecca, obviously, in both of those scenes and for Keely. And I feel like, I have that thing that, people fault women for. And I think that I'm, just as guilty of it as a lot of other women are. You get judgmental of like the character or whatever, like, Rebecca's just a bitch, or, and having been on the receiving end of that moniker, I'm more forgiving of Rebecca. The Keely's just a hoe kind of thing. I feel like I needed to see her intelligence in this and her self-awareness in this for her to be like more of a rich character. And they do that. And I think that that's a really remarkable thing that this show does, because all of the characters are three-dimensional and they don't have, obviously you've got some that are developed more than others. Like, so far we haven't seen a whole lot of Sam, but we've seen, we haven't seen, the side pricks don't get really developed, those kinds of things. Cause you can't do that for every single character, but you do get the sense that there's a very real, development of the characters here. So I really liked that in this episode. What was your worst part?
Jamie and Rupert.
Jamie and Rupert are like cut from the same cloth. Like Rupert hasn't grown out of 23.
Yeah, and it just, both of them suck. I hate them. And yeah, that's my worst part. What about you?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with that. They are gonna be like in various points running theme of like bad people and people things that I hate. I hate people who are manipulative for shallow reasons. I don't like manipulative period, but I really hate it when there's like no decent rationale for it. Like I feel like Rebecca's been manipulative for revenge purposes. It's awful, and she is not thinking about the consequences to other people, and that's wrong. Mm-hmm. But at least she has a legit revenge claim.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, there's no reason for either Rupert or Jamie to behave in the way that they do. They've got everything handed to them. They've got all the money in the world. They got all the everything. There's just no reason for them to be as awful as they are. So no, yeah, I agree with that. How did you grade this episode?
I gave it an A-. I enjoyed it, but there were certain parts of it that, like, I think I was missing that like extra little bit of humor that is usually injected into it. When, not that there wasn't humor, there was, but I don't know. There were certain, the aspect that I really enjoy in this is like the office kind of workplace comedy part of it, where it's like they're doing the actual soccer stuff and when Ted's being a coach and that kind of stuff, like having them outside of that, you like seeing them outside of that setting is great and all, but like I do enjoy the comedy that just comes out of that. But yeah, I do like the very beginning of this is probably my favorite part of it because of like the West Side Story part, and the then I also love the red carpet part. But like, I mean, yeah, I'd say that.
Yeah, I, you know, because I'm on some level a drama girl, I probably would, and I didn't really grade this, you know, it'd be between an A and an A minus for me, because I really like that character development that you see. This is one of those growth episodes that I think is so critical to why this show works, mm-hmm. and why you keep watching it. So, you know, for me, I would put it in some of the, in the really, really great category, whether it's A or A minus, I'm not sure. But yeah. Okay. And so we're going to be like doing a whole bunch of episodes coming up, I hope. And we're going to keep releasing on Mondays and Thursdays because, you know, these are quick episodes. You should be able to get them in your drive to work or whatever. I mean, obviously, if you're just walking around campus, maybe that's a thing too. But that is kind of what our focus is going to be. I hope everyone has enjoyed our insight or our thoughts about Ted Lasso. I mean, we really haven't done a whole lot of like critique of this. Like,
there really isn't that much to critique, though.
Wow, that's awesome. And you know, I don't feel like, you know, like a lot of comedies, and I'm just going to use this as an example, that whole West Side Story reference might have, like, you know, say you were watching Family Guy, they would do this whole far too long, you know, like cut to people doing West Side Story.
Well, there is like a cutaway that is West Side Story theme that I actually do like from Family Guy. So that might not be the best example, but like,
you're more forgiving of that with Family Guy than I am, because they usually go on way too long for me.
I think the comic timing is very important, and it really is really well showcased in this show in particular, because it's just like bam, bam, bam. Like it just works. And all of the actors are great at like working off of each other in that way. And usually if something goes on for too long, it's meant to, because it's supposed to be an awkward part. But I think that I'm glad that they don't really focus too much on the secondhand embarrassment kind of cop out for comedy that like usually like long pauses like that could bring, because that really doesn't work for me all that much, like for the most part. But
do the whole flashback thing that has become such a trope. And I like that they're very much in the present. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they talk about it, but they talk about it for just long enough for you to get the sense of what's going on and move on to what's happening now and how that background informs the now. And they do it like very tightly. It's very, you know, like a couple of sentences, like Rebecca talking about how controlling Rupert was. It's just a couple of sentences and they move on. But you see it. And some of it is the acting, right? Like she really, you see her internally broken with it on some level. And it
is a testament to like how the characters feel about what they're talking about, because if they want to like get out, like she doesn't really like showing too much emotion. So whenever like that like came up, she's going to do like the bullet point spark notes. I don't really want to talk about this to you, Ted. I really just don't want to reveal all this stuff about me. But in a moment of like vulnerability like that, like she's able to give a little bit of it, but like not all of it. So it's not like it's going to be a long monologue about like what every single like aggression against like Rupert or whatever, or Rupert against Rebecca. But I think that like longer moments like Keely in the bathroom talking about her past relationships is well done, because it's kind of it's earned, because you don't really know that much about Keely and her situation, so it kind of it makes sense why they took a little bit more time to talk about that. But I think it just works. So yeah, right. We love Ted Lasso.
Keely is the outsider, right? She's not part of the club, and you know, the she's not like a day-to-day person. She is for Jamie, but she's not for everybody else. And so to give her that They do a good job with that. It's going to be interesting because, you know, obviously we're doing this and season 3 is supposed to come out like any old time. And there are some transitions with her character that I'm not sure where they're going with that. And I'm not
sure. We'll get to that in season 2.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely will. But it is an interesting thing. So anyway, please tune in, join us, and
cheers.
Cheers.